Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the episode.
You know, it's a pretty exciting episode. We have a new guest who's never been on the program before. And we'll see how it goes.
And I'm not a fan.
Yeah, yeah. Already, it's kind of going the wrong way. Going. Yeah.
No, this is this show. Let's just introduce him. We've both known this guy for a long time. Some of my family members know your family members or some obscure.
That is correct.
So I knew who you were long before we ever actually met. And you were at the podcast festival.
Yes, I was. Wouldn't have missed it.
That's the wonderful voice of Mr. Wayne Fetterman, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Thank Welcome, you. Wayne.
Now, well, I've not been on this show before, obviously, and we're well into triple digits number of broadcasts. What is the most number of repeated guests? Who has repeated the most on your show?
It's probably been some of our writers. Like, I would say Mike Schmidt or Jackie Cation have probably been on the most.
Yep, yep.
So you have a staff writing that banter, that intro you just did?
We do. We have a full writing staff.
They write.
Because I noticed there's cards behind me. I was wondering where those cards came from.
Yeah. Yes. Emailed
in.
I don't know how to say hello or welcome. Yeah. I need that all.
We have interns go to Kinko's, blow them up.
Put them here.
Nice.
The back wall is just one big dry erase board.
So the writers would be. Now, what about outside of the writers? Is there one guy that's so good at this?
I don't know.
We have a staff of interns, and they all have kind of different specialties.
Oh, really?
He's talking about guests.
Guest-wise.
Remember the initial thing that he said?
Yeah.
Am I going to have to repeat every question?
It's been a long time already.
Guys don't like me. This is why I've never been on it. I'm already causing trouble.
This is a problem.
Okay, Wayne, do you want a water?
Yeah.
All right, let me get Wayne a water.
That would be great.
Yeah, I like how you just pulled out a water, put it in front of Wayne, and then started drinking it. That's
good. Yeah, I'm fine.
I probably will not use it, but I like to have it just in case. Because I was listening once to my voice on the radio, and it just sounded scratchy. And I was like, sometimes. Anyway, so a good story. This is a fantastic story, the way I weave it.
So how's the water story going? What did I miss?
You missed a really great
water story.
Scratchy voices are being taken care of. First of all, tell some of our fans.
Yes. Tell us some of our fans.
Tell us some of our fans. Tell them some of our or their fans.
Exactly right.
That's right on the money.
No, all of them.
No, some of them. Yeah. I don't want all of them to know this.
Do you know who Strunk and White are? Would those two people mean anything? Okay.
Thank you.
They wrote a book called The Elements of Style. I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And it's just about brevity in speech and writing.
Ah.
Something.
To look into.
Tell us about our fans.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tell our fans a little bit who you are and what you've done.
It's hard for me to talk about myself, but this may take 20 minutes. First of all, I do stand-up. That's how we know each other. I also write. I don't want to brag, but I am nominated for a Writers Guild Award this year.
For what?
For writing... very incestuous, an award show called the Independent Spirit Awards.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Yeah, we wrote that last year, co-wrote that, and then for some reason they give awards to shows about awards.
Are you up for a spirit award, too?
That would be interesting.
You've, written on Jimmy Fallon.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was a head monologue writer over there for, the first year. Mm-hmm. But of all the things I do, I love being in movies. And I've been lucky enough to be in a number of movies, but never really start in a movie, but usually have one scene where I'm in and then I'm gone. I do something funny and then...
But there's a showbiz term for this now. Showbiz parlance, this is called
This is called the Fetterman and out. You see him and then I'm gone. And I think the thing is, I might be that my acting is so, not good, but just bright and brilliant.
Revelatory.
That it's hard for people's eyes to
adjust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just too distracting.
It's like an alien creature
that
has too much knowledge that the small minds of this earth aren't going to be able to understand.
Right.
And who's funny.
Yeah, and they're going to want to shoot you because you're too good.
Too good. So I assume that's why I've not gotten where I'm in multiple scenes or, starring in something.
Well, let's review some movies first, and then we'll come back.
We got a lot to go.
And then we'll talk about the Fetterman and Outs later.
We got to go Fetterman In-N-Outs.
No, it's not In-N-Outs. That's a burger chain. What are you talking about? By the way, my big complaint about In-N-Out Burger, not really In-N-Out. It's like in, and then you wait.
But it's homemade and fresh.
No, I understand, but it's not called homemade and fresh. It's called In-N-Out. That's what they're selling. And have you ever gone there? You don't eat meat.
No. When I used to be a murderer,
right.
I would go to In-N-Out Burger.
Order a burger and then kill somebody.
Yeah, and then yeah. I'd bathe in people's blood.
Oh, so, I would love it.
So
all right, let's talk about
Hitchcock. You finally got to see this movie.
I finally got to see this movie. I was looking forward to seeing this movie because obviously...
Now, Dean actually did a nice review on the site, but I want to get your take on it.
You know, I studied... He was one of the directors we studied in film school. So I've seen a lot of his movies, and there's a great book by, I believe, Donald Spoto that goes through all of Hitchcock's books. It's a
movies.
His movies. He was more of a book writer. Jesus. I'm so tired. So anyway, he did he do movies?
Yeah.
Was he a movie guy? It's a book about all of his movies, and it's an excellent guide because it says the year that it came out, who was in it. It even says what the MacGuffin of each film was, which mm-hmm. if you don't know, Hitchcock put a red herring.
Okay, you can't use another metaphor to describe what a metaphor
but,
is.
But a MacGuffin is only...
But a red herring is a metaphor. Then you would have to explain what that is.
Yeah.
But I think everyone knows what a red herring is. MacGuffin is only Hitchcock uses that. MacGuffin isn't like common speech.
Right, I agree. I agree. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, keep going.
Stop
keep going.
Yelling.
Yeah, yeah. The term, he invented the term, sort of.
He invented the term. Anyway, he always puts a plot device that's fake. That's not a metaphor.
Okay, it's pretty good. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, it explains what it was in each movie, how the movie did and everything like that. And that's an excellent book. So anyway, I was excited to see this movie. I thought...
Hopkins.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I thought he did an excellent job. And because there's two projects out right now. Yeah, yeah. There's two projects out. Don't move my mic.
Trying to move it farther away.
so he in this particular story, I guess there's like an HBO movie about Hitchcock, but this is more about Hitchcock and his wife and them getting the movie Psycho made. And overall, it's a good film. There's some parts where it meanders a little bit too much, I thought, into them arguing and they're being married and stuff like that, which the best parts of the movie, I think, I mean, Helen Mirren is great, and they play an old married couple very well, and how she worked on all of his films. They met in film school when they were both very young. But it's all the stuff about the movie Psycho that I personally didn't know, which was... The censorship board at the time was so strict. No, he was like...
Did it focus a lot on Psycho, or did it kind of go through his whole career?
No, focuses on Psycho. It's the period of him trying to get Psycho made.
This is 1960, right?
50. Starts in 59. Mm-hmm. He's coming off the movie right prior to that that didn't do that well.
Vertigo?
Yeah, he's coming off Vertigo. That didn't do well. That did not do well.
And now it's considered a classic. Sure, would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Am I wrong to use mm-hmm. that term?
Not at all. No.
And that's the first movie, if I'm not mistaken,
you can
that
use
I remember
the term Vertigo.
Where they did the your
you are allowed
where yeah. they did the push in but rack out, the zoom in but push in while zooming out.
Right. Which Hitchcock invented.
Was it invented for Vertigo?
Yeah, that staircase, there's the several scenes in
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
yep.
yeah. I mean, but it's in also Jaws. Do you know are you familiar with Jaws?
Well, what's
1975. No, Steve Spielberg.
Steve. Now, what has Steve done? Is he another book writer? Like this Hitchcock fellow?
I always love when I see celebrities on talk shows use the like the
Bob's awesome.
Oh, right.
Working with him. You mean Robert De Niro?
Yeah. Is that what Marty.
Yeah. Marty's great. Yeah, yeah.
It's so horrible. That's how I always do it. Steve Spielberg. You know, Steve.
Stevie.
Stevie Spielberg.
Stevie Spiels. So anyway, this focus is all on the getting Psycho made. He's in, and there's all this like, is he too old? Is he past his prime? Because he's 60 at that point, and his obsession with blonde leading ladies, and all of that stuff that went into getting that movie made at that time, and how he had to shoot that. I mean, all of that stuff. What he had, I mean, he put his own money up to get this made because the studio didn't, they're like, this movie, no way. The book, because it was based on a book about Ed Gein, an actual serial killer from Wisconsin. And so it's really fascinating. There's just some parts where
So it was kind of like hit or miss through the movie, or
no,
would you
recommend it? It's definitely more hit than miss. Okay. There's just some parts where it just meanders a little bit where you're kind of like, yeah, yeah.
I think you liked it more than D.
Now, do they ever put you off on the wrong track in that movie?
No, yes. They never. There was no MacGuffin.
Was there a bio MacGuffin?
Yeah, there was a biopic MacGuffin. you know, so Dean, what was his problem with it?
He had a couple problems with it. He found it kind of unengaging and a little boring.
I guess because I'm such a Hitchcock fan that
you are. Can I ask you a Hitchcock trivia question?
Sure.
Just, I'm putting you on the spot. Sorry about that. I'm putting you on the spot. Hitchcock is known for never winning Best Director, right? That's his.
He never won an Oscar.
But one of his films won Best Picture. What film was that?
North by Northwest.
Yeah, that is totally wrong.
It's.
I'll give you the year if you want.
Yeah. Give me the year.
Because I know all the Oscar winners. 1940.
Oh, Notorious.
No.
Strangers on it. No, it's
early. It's his first. I think it's his first picture.
Rope.
In America. You know, we did all those ones in England. Mm-hmm.
Is it Rope?
It's called Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Rebecca. Oh, that's right. He won Best Picture for.
But I don't even know who won Best Director. Well, not that we need to look it up, but I wonder who beat him.
I forgot. That's Wayne's other talent. 1965 Best Picture winner.
That's The Sound of Music.
See, he knows the Best Picture.
Sometimes I don't, but I know a lot.
That's impressive. That's an impressive skill.
Yeah, that was a good Robert Wise who edited.
Bob's great.
Yeah, yeah. Robert Wise, yeah, he's awesome. he came over. We edited. Oh, had some cocktails. Bob, yeah, it's just it's
you
classic.
Gotta meet his dogs. They always try to throw something just to let you know that they know him on a personal level. Bob can cook. Yeah. A tuna sandwich, though. Shut up. You don't know what he makes.
And
if I'm not mistaken, he was also one of the editors on Citizen Kane. Is that right? I believe so.
Now we're going to send him to IMDb.
Anyway,
like.
So you still think it's worth seeing?
Especially if you're a film buff.
If you're a film nerd fan, like.
What's the difference between a buff and a nerd when it comes to film?
I think a buff is someone who likes movies. They get into them. I would say a nerd is more like what we are, like getting into the specific stats and
oh, you are?
Yeah, I would
say. Because I have some great nerd stuff for you.
Well, lay it on me.
Well, are we still going to talk about Hitchcock?
We'll finish the reviews, and then we'll go into.
Robert. So what was the question? Robert Wise directed The Sound of Music.
In 1965, but did he edit Citizen Kane
Click on Robert Wise, a lot of things are going to come up.
Yeah.
1941, right?
Director.
Citizen Kane.
So,
yeah.
Let's go to the next movie.
Yes,
while
he edited Citizen Kane in 1941.
Wow. Right,
come on, is that nerdy or Buffy?
That's nerdy.
That's nerdy. Yeah, okay, keep going.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, yes, Hitchcock, I'd check it out. But if you're on the fence, then read Dean's review and make your decision accordingly.
Okay. Good advice.
I'm going to go see it.
Good.
No, not even a question. Not even a question.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's what I love about sending different writers than us, because there's every once in a while there's completely different takes.
Yeah.
So anyway, the next movie I saw is A Dark Truth. It's very limited release, and I believe it's on demand, and also it won't be released until January. This is a very interesting movie. This is Andy Garcia stars as an ex-CIA operative who becomes a radio talk show host but gets dragged into a conspiracy involving water rights in South Africa. Now, I just made it sound far more interesting than it actually is. It was one of those movies that it's like this is a geopolitical thriller with some stars in it. You could see the intentions there of what they wanted this movie to be, and it falls flat 70-80% of the time.
Can I ask where you saw it?
Screener
at Lemley, or what used to be the Lemley, now the Sundance?
No, I saw a previous screening on the on demand.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why
yeah.
this movie did that. Because the director is Damian Lee, who's done such classics as the remake of Scarface in 2011, Hit It, which we all remember, King of Sorrow, Agent Red. He did Terminal Rush in 1996.
It was really, really, and that says a lot right there.
Is he legally allowed to release a movie that goes to the cinema, or is it only directed to DVD? Right.
Did you even count that? I mean, I'm just curious.
It was one of those movies that it felt like, this is the one that's going to put me in the map. They're like, you know, I'm done doing all these DVDs. This is like a classy piece. And it wasn't. It was terrible. But what made me laugh is like how incompetently directed it was. Because when you start off, you have very good actors in this movie. You have Andy Garcia, Forrest Whitaker, Eva Longoria, and about four or five other character actors that you go, oh, I've seen him in that thing or that show. I've seen him in Lost or that guy in a bunch of cheaper Canadian productions. But the first thing you notice is Andy Garcia talks like he's Batman. And you know that was some crazy direction. Like, well, you know, I left the CIA because, you know, I was looking for the truth. And I'm like, okay, first of all, if you're going to talk in cliches, don't do a gravelly voice because then it makes it sound even worse.
So it wasn't the Adam West.
No, it wasn't. That would have been a little more interesting.
Go into my CIA belt.
Yeah. So, and it had those funny moments where there was these weird monologues about conspiracies and human nature, and they all went literally nowhere. And like, you're trying to add pathos on a movie that's pretty much doesn't care about pathos. Like, this movie doesn't care that you don't care, but it's trying to make you care anyway. It's a weird kind of circle where it is what it is. You know, there's gunfire, there's conspiracies, and it's filled with wonderful B-movie conspiracy cliches. The evil corporation who happens to have the phone number of a hitman. Of course, because every evil corporation has the phone number of a hitman. Sure. And they always call them and... you know, they it's like, what do you want me to do? I'll take care of it. You know, like, okay, all right. Because every corporate CEO is like, says, I'll take care of it, and calls a hitman, and things get taken care of. That's how business works.
How do you think we run this?
One phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
Popcorn Mafia. Yeah. That podcast went away. Had an accident. Weird.
So, and then you have Eva Longoria, who is literally in maybe four scenes, and let me describe her character. Eva Longoria's character is Forrest Whitaker's wife. That's how much development she got. She got literally none. Even Forrest Whitaker was like, I don't know what to do with this. Just I'm here for the paycheck. And there were some opportunities where you could kind of like make it a little bit more interesting. Like a good example is like The Constant Gardener. If you remember that,
yeah, sure.
It actually. That when you have a geopolitical thriller with actual stakes and actual real-world implications, that hits you on a much different level because it's a more competently made movie. Now, imagine if a four-year-old made The Constant Gardener, and that's you have a dark truth. That's pretty much what you have here. So I would avoid this movie. I would say even on demand or on DVD, the dark truth is it's a terrible movie.
Avoid Damien Lee's IMDb page. Because
so bad.
It's horrible.
Yeah. All right. So no go on a dark truth.
No go on dark truth.
And, you know, premise and stars, I'm like, you know what, maybe this is going to be okay. Went in with an open mind, interested to see it. And then it totally pushed me in the wrong direction.
You're wound too deep. You're holding up too tight or whatever.
Like,
you're wound too deep. Yeah. That's one of those cliches.
You're wound too deep.
Everyone's wound too deep.
Yeah. We're going to have to cut the hitman. Make it more tight.
All right. Well, let's call it. Let's talk about. Now, this is a movie that we've talked about prior to this episode on this show. But Wayne, you saw Cloud Atlas because this movie.
And not only saw it, but saw a screening with the three directors. There's three directors in this movie. There's the guy. There's his ex-brother, who's now his sister.
Like the team, and then the guy that
And then another guy
run.
They brought in.
Tom Twyker, I believe.
Yeah, Tom Twyker.
That was his name. So the three of them are up there talking about the movie.
So now, because a lot of people,
are you all right? Seriously?
No, I'm not.
Is this it? Is there an aneurysm? What's happening?
Is it the coconut water?
Something going on?
The coconut water has made me go insane.
I mean, the first mistake was like, okay, it's funny, but now it's weird.
We have a problem.
We have a problem. Yeah.
So, because many people are sort of split on Cloud Atlas.
Well, not me.
It's kind of a love or hate movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really loved it.
Yeah, we both actually really liked it.
What did you think?
Couldn't be better split. This couldn't be a better split. That was a horrible movie. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? You're joking. You knew that I didn't like it, and you just said that.
No, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
On what level? Oh, as a film?
Every level. On film, as allegory?
This is the one area I will say that I will agree with you. It was ambitious. Right. And I do like people. All right.
The movie had a nice personality.
No, it didn't. But I'm saying the idea of it was ambitious. No doubt.
Why didn't you like it?
All right. Let's see. I don't think it worked. Do you want to lower the chair? One thing. I know I'm yelling. One thing I didn't think it worked as a film. Mm-hmm. Like as a film, you're. But my criteria for a film is, am I in it? Am I emotionally involved in this story?
Oh, I thought if you had a Fetterman in and out.
No Fetterman in and out? Stupid
it's
film.
It's just a Fetterman in out. Why is this hard? In and out is me getting a burger. What is wrong with you two?
It's a Fetterman double-double.
No, that's my point.
Can I order a Fetterman like animal style?
All right. So it had nothing to do that I was. That would be funny. Only the films I'm in I like. That'd be a great guy.
That would be great.
Legally Blonde is phenomenal. I don't know what's wrong with the. Okay. First of all, the makeup was horrible. Borderline racist. It was like you might as well have gotten like the Charlie Chan.
How is that racist?
Because the Charlie Chan makeup and all of that.
Well, you... All right.
Okay, I'm not going to call it racist, because I feel like people play the race card way too much, and I accuse... So I'm not going to... I'll retract that.
Okay.
But the teeth, like all the right. Tom Hanks teeth, and the truth, and the weird dialogue, and I just thought all of those stories were... I thought all those stories were bad, with maybe the exception of the one in the future, the one that was closest to The Matrix, which was... The Asian girl who was like under the control. Like I felt like that story was like, okay, this is kind of an interesting, but it was just insane. Like, how did that guy infiltrate? On no intellectual level did it make sense, the movie.
So is that just like a personal preference thing? Like you're not.
I hate Buddhism.
So you think every.
Isn't that kind of what that movie was, right?
I hate Buddhism.
So what you're saying is.
That's the religion you really go after. Those fucking Buddhists with all their enlightenment.
They're banging and they're chanting and everything. Yeah. We're all connected.
Oh, no,
all their statues look happy.
Yeah. That religion isn't starting wars. Yeah. Fuck them. I don't have a use for it.
So that's it. I thought the acting was weak. I just thought the story was virtually. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. I was just embarrassed for the filmmaker and everyone involved.
Okay,
with
we're
going
to need you to leave.
Yeah, you really liked it.
Yeah.
Did you guys like? Can I ask you a question? Because there's another split movie like that where people love it. Won the best picture of 1996, if I'm not mistaken, called The English Patient. I hated it. People love it. Wins best picture.
I didn't hate it, but it was definitely overrated. I didn't think it was one of those movies. When I saw English Patient, I went, "This is okay." The Academy's gonna go nuts for it. You know,
I felt the same way. I'm like,
well, you know, people that love that movie. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, what? This is what the movie that people were going nuts over. Yeah, I didn't think it was terrible, but I thought it was very mediocre.
Yeah, see, I thought it was not good. Mm-hmm. I don't like to use the word terrible because it was like, but it's not good. Like that's the way I feel about Cloud Atlas.
Right. I don't think you can call it, for me personally. I get the complex, convoluted storyline making some people like this is annoying or whatever. I get people not liking the way that the story was told.
But the specifics, I got it. Yeah, I definitely disagree. I thought the acting was good. I love the way the story's intertwined. I love the way that the actors, you know, some of the makeup was...
Did you think any of it was real? Did you feel like it in any way was like real human behavior on any level?
Absolutely.
Really? When Tom Hanks threw that guy out of a building. You were like, yeah, that happens all the time when somebody gets a bad review. It's funny.
I believed it. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was fine.
That seems like a reasonable thing.
Yes. Yeah. I bought it. I think what happens is with movies like that when...
And the slave who runs up to the top and is able to...
You raise a great point. Here's the thing about these movies.
I don't know why I'm yelling.
Here's the thing about these movies is if you're invested at the beginning... What you will forgive and suspend your disbelief through the entire thing, and you'll be more forgiving on those things. However, if it hits you the wrong way at the beginning,
you're out,
and every single thing after that is annoying and unrealistic.
This is great film talk. I agree with you 100%.
Really what it is, especially with a movie like Cloud Atlas, where it's like almost like
they're taking such a big swing.
Yeah.
You have,
and again, I said ambitious. Yeah, I do appreciate the swing.
You
and
have
it's
to get on board with the swing at first, and if you don't, then you're going to hate every aspect about it, which I get. I didn't
hate every aspect. I just didn't think it was well done.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was well.
It didn't resonate with you. You didn't.
I didn't think it was well made. And those stories I thought were like when the guy. Can I give away anything? When the guy.
No spoiler alert stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, I already told about the guy that gets thrown out of the building.
Well, that's
can we edit that out?
Yeah, no, I think we're all right there.
All right. All right. And
no, like endings. We don't like.
No, we won't. First of all, there is no ending to that movie.
Or is there?
Or is there?
Cloud Atlas 2.
Boy, I wish I'd fallen asleep.
The prequel.
I wish I'd fallen asleep during that movie. Because my dream would have been better than what was on the $100 million. If I'm not mistaken, the highest cost independent movie ever.
Oh yeah, it was
right.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
$100 million. I mean,
the Star Wars movies were independent movies.
I see. Budget. You mean these?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're saying the last ones, the last three.
Well, even the other ones were.
But they weren't $100 million. So. No way.
Budget on Star Wars was like $20 million.
What do you? Oh no, I meant the prequels. Yeah, yeah.
The prequels
that they made. Yeah, the
three.
They were independent.
One, two,
movies.
And three. They call them, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those are all okay. Yeah. Well,
Let's talk about this real quick.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to curious.
It's interesting.
And Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow was some crazy budgeted independent movie, like over 100.
I could be wrong about this.
So anyway, but let's move
this
on.
This is not like me knowing the sound of music, which is definitely easily.
All right, 1965, Best Picture.
We just did it.
Yeah, he's already said it.
I know. I want to check his memory.
Okay, now
I think we'll check.
We already did long term. Now we don't want to do short term.
I'll give you 64.
Yeah, no, I don't want 64. Okay. 71.
Oh, it's the French Connection.
Yeah.
Nah,
that's a good one. That was a good one.
Great film.
How far back do you go?
Only to like 39.
Okay, 30. Let's do 39.
Well, that's the biggest grossing movie in the history of Hollywood. In the history of cinema.
That is Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. I mean, that's everyone should know that.
I was thinking, what year was Birth of the Nation? What was that?
Yeah.
That was the biggest grossing movie.
At the time.
But you don't want to know what the biggest grossing... Because I like to do like the biggest grossing movie of each decade. And the biggest grossing movie of like the silent... The 20s. Wait, is that right? Yeah, the 20s. The silent decade.
Mm-hmm.
What would you think? I'll tell you right now because you're not going to know.
It's got to be a Charlie Chaplin film.
No.
Buster
no,
Keaton?
No. It's not a comedy. It's not a comedy. It's I'll give you the director.
Okay, foreign or domestic first?
More.
Is this M? Is this Fritz? Is this Fritz?
No, it's the guy's name's King Vidor or Vidor? Vidor? I don't know. I would say.
Oh wait.
It's a war movie.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I give up. I would lose on Douglas movies right now.
Yeah, it's called The Big Parade. I've never even seen it. Yeah.
All right.
Look it up, kids. Look it up.
Look it up.
Right. Look it up. It's a good one.
So now, let's talk about your Fetterman and Outs.
Oh, my God. Already? Yeah. To me.
Let's do it. What's the first one that you did?
The first one I did was a movie called, what was that called? Oh, Jack Frost. Are you familiar with the movie? Now, there's two.
Michael Keaton.
Yes, there's two Jack Frosts. There's also the Santa Claus Killer one. Mm-hmm. But this is the one that is even more terrifying than the Santa Claus Killer one, because Michael Keaton plays a guy who dies.
And becomes a snowman.
Comes back as a snowman to help his kid with hockey and stuff like that. And it's...
in Florida.
Well, it's, yeah, in a way, you know it's going to end badly because spring is coming. He's not going to end up in the freezer. Dad is going to die. Dad is going to die. So I played a Officer Dave in that one, and that was my first Better Men and Out.
How many cops have you played?
Just a couple. Just a couple. In another movie called Dumb and Dumberer, I played a cop.
But there was like a snowman in that movie too, right?
I don't know. Is there? What are you saying? Why are you saying that?
I'm just thinking, well, you do a lot of snowmen.
No, it was one snowman. I am not
world,
a snowman.
Right?
That was it. So I did Dumb and Dumberer, not Dumb and Dumber.
The sequel.
Right. The prequel.
Sure.
It came out after, but they're calling it that kind of thing. What would you call that?
It's a prequel,
They couldn't afford Jim Carrey.
And then Legally Blonde, which I mentioned earlier, which was my favorite one of all the ones I've done. Because I'm
what
crucial.
Was your one there?
Well, that one, also a snowman. No, I was I was on the board of directors at Harvard when they show the videotape, and they were like, you know, I don't know if you remember, Elle Woods, played by Reese Witherspoon. She's trying to get into Harvard.
Racy's great. I mean, she does such good stuff. Oh, she's an angel.
She makes a great chamomile tea when you come over.
Just does it the right way.
So she sends a videotape to Harvard, and then the board is like, hey, we've never had... She's a friend of the animal. She's a friend of... Like, I'm on the board that allows her to get into Harvard.
Oh, okay.
But if we don't vote her into Harvard...
There's no movie.
It's a critical plot point.
She's at Orange County Community College. No one is going to. It's so not a fish out of water situation.
I want to personally thank you then.
You're welcome. For voting You're welcome. But what was also great about that movie was Raquel Welch is in the movie.
Ooh.
And when I was a kid, I had a poster of Raquel Welch. I still have it.
Do you have the Barbarella poster?
No, not the Barbarella one. I had the 2000 BC or 2 million BC or whatever that
was. Now, in Legally Blonde, what was the MacGuffin?
Orange County Community College. That was the MacGuffin.
And then I did a judge started. I was in 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up and Funny People and stuff like that. So it's been fun. Like, people kind of know me. I'm in Step Brothers. I played the blind guy, the blind neighbor at the beginning of the movie.
What was your latest one?
Funny People. So it's been a while. It's been a while.
Now,
so it's time for another.
Is that because you kind of started with Judd Apatow?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I met him. He was still at USC, and he booked me at USC with two other comedians, Kevin Nealon and a guy. I want to say Tommy Sledge, maybe. Do you remember that guy? Mm-hmm. This is now we're on Comedy Talk. Are we allowed to do this?
Yes,
you can tangent. Sure,
this is a tangent. Nealon's been in movies, so people would know him from that. Mm-hmm. And and he was doing stand up and hanging around the clubs. And so, thank God I was nice to that kid. Thank God I was nice to that kid. But my basic nature is to be nice to people anyway, so it wouldn't be a weird thing that I would be nice to someone.
It's not disingenuous when you're
right. It's not like, oh, this guy can't help me, or this guy. Like, I'm nice to everyone.
No, he's a good guy. Wayne Fetterman's good people.
Thank you.
First time I ever did stand up. I was a freshman at the University of Arizona. I entered the Doritos Sticklets U.S. College Comedy Competition in Tucson, Arizona. The MC, traveling MC, Judd Apatow.
Right.
Wearing acid wash jeans and a mullet.
Yeah. What year was that?
1988.
Right. Wow. So he was already... Well, this is what happened. See, okay, this is... I'm now putting this all together. He was in the Sticklets competition at USC that I emceed.
And he won that.
He won that. And I guess they were putting the kids out on the road who won it.
Oh. Wow. Who knew that all this time?
This is weird.
It's crazy.
That's amazing.
Judd fans out there, this is start twittering.
Yeah, yeah,
a little twinkling little or whatever you, whatever the word is for it.
But yeah, yeah. Wayne's been a staple in stand up for many years.
For a long time. Yeah.
And everyone's
coming up on 30 years.
Never
30
is a bad
years.
Word to say about Wayne. I mean, in fact, we did a lot of shows at Borders Books when we had the bookstore there. Remember
okay,
those
now
stores?
I feel this is all comedy talk. What, yeah, well, I thought we were going to talk about movies.
First word in the title, comedy film nerds.
Okay.
So back when they had bookstores.
Daddy, what's that?
Yeah.
So you just were in Maria Bamford's special.
Yes, Fetterman and out in that.
What did you do in the Bamford?
Well, this is my first digital download. Mm-hmm. And she does, I don't know if you're familiar with her special at all, but everyone has these comedy specials. She's so brilliant. In her living room, two people in the audience, her parents, her mom and dad.
That's her entire special?
That's the an hour special.
God, Bammer's so great.
An hour special. But I'm like on the keyboards, like kind of like a Paul Schaefer guy. I'm in the shadows. You don't really see me. I don't really talk, but I play a little stuff, little interstitial music. Because like during the special, like pizza comes, she has to put eye drops in her dog's eyes. But I couldn't be a bigger fan of hers. What do you think? Are you wrong? Is this like a Cloud Atlas thing where I'm going to be
wrong? No, we're all on the same page here.
I've known her from when I first moved
to
LA.
You did? Tell me.
When I first moved to LA, she was one of the comics I met, and she was just one of those people that I
We all worked together on Second City Naked News many years ago.
Second City Naked News on the Microsoft Network. Mm-hmm. She's one of those people that I've always been like, she's so funny and so brilliant.
And unique. No one can do her bit.
No one's like that.
Yeah, she's not doing like, yeah. No. She's in a whole different.
She's a whole different category. And so, and because of that, unfortunately, some people just don't get her, which always bums me out. But she's been so smart that she was one of the first people, and this is like 5-6 years ago, started going out on the road and doing off nights, doing Tuesday, Wednesday night instead of the weekend because – you know, we all know when you go on the weekend, you know, on Saturday night, you'll get these married couples or whatever who just sometimes don't get anything. And the Bammer, they're going to be.
Wait, hold on a second. She married people don't understand comedy.
Yeah, so wait. Yeah, let's back up a little bit here. So married people go to comedy clubs.
And are you really? You're really going to argue with me about the married couples that go to comedy clubs on the road? You're really going to defend these people? Yeah. Are you really? No, I want to hear this conversation.
Yes,
I do.
I will.
Fucking idiot. Yeah, and you've never performed on a Saturday
night. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yeah, of course I have. I've done it with you. now, wait a minute. I think that's just a blanket statement. Just the specific.
More than a couple. Like young couples dating.
There's plenty
of more idiots.
There's
than
plenty
those.
Of wonderful, smart, intelligent, fun-loving married couples. That
they might be listening to this right now. They might be listening right now.
I know who you're talking about, though.
Right.
I just want you to be a little more specific. That's all.
I'm not going to be more specific. Just because your feelings got hurt because you're still married.
No, that's not it at all.
I like the way he says you're still married.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's an imminent thing happening.
Like
imminent thing.
Someone's gonna die.
No,
you know what I'm talking about. All right, I'll be more specific.
Yeah.
The married couple that is all they're doing is married with kids. They are not in touch with anything.
Oh, I got you.
They're not watching current stuff. They come to the comedy club not to see a specific comic. They just go, we want to see comedy.
And they're humorless.
And they're humorless and they show up.
See, now I agree.
Oh, Christ. You know what I meant when I said
I
that?
I did, but the audience did.
Oh, the audience does too. We've talked about this a million times.
You have. Okay. All right. So,
I don't think Wayne did either.
Well, I thought it was funny. I just thought it was an interesting
two road
swipe.
You guys have been doing comedy for 20 years. I really needed that to explain that to you. That's ridiculous.
It was pretty entertaining to hear you
explain
it, though.
What's a heckler, Graham?
Yeah.
You're saying anyone that drinks is a loud dummy? That's not fair.
Tell us about a check spot.
No, that is.
What does that mean?
That is. Yeah. What is when they drop checks? What does that mean?
Someone out there might not get that.
Yeah.
They have checkbooks. Everything's done with Visa debit cards now. anyway, that's why Bammer is brilliant.
Yeah, she is.
So now,
she's something. So anyway, it's a big success. She's made more money than she would have if she had done
of
the
course.
Other route.
But
can I just continue talking about it for a second?
Go ahead.
Because not only is it very, I don't want to use the word brave, but certainly that's quite a swing to like bring like a special down to that small.
Right.
I mean, it is shot close. Her parents are there. But there's also a psychological element to it as well, because
I feel like a lot of comedians, there's a little like your parents are part of your development. Either you're rebelling against them or you want their approval or something like that. I could never perform in front of my parents. Like, I mean, I've had them in the crowd a few times and it's always uncomfortable. What about you guys?
Well, I'll say this too about Maria. I mean, Maria has a lot of stuff in her act.
About her mom.
About her mom.
Yeah.
She does her mom's voice a lot, and I'm sure...
I always like performing, and this is, every comedian's a little different, but my personal preference is strangers. Any friends or family, I'm always like, 100% I get a little bit more nervous. What about
you? I'm pointing to Graham right now.
So you're saying anyone named Graham doesn't want to perform for... I've performed in front of my family a lot. My family, my parents were like theater people, we were like performing. Like when I was a kid, first time I was ever on stage, I was four. I was in Three Penny Opera. I was just like a little kid on stage or whatever. And they always tell the story. They had to give me candy to get me to walk on stage.
And John Landis
was there. Well, Johnny is really he.
And Judd Apatow.
every step along the way is a famous.
And it was there, the first show, and there was all these married people, and they were stupid. They were dumb, and they didn't understand plays or theater. They're like, "What's going on?"
And you look in the wings, you're like, "What
are these people? I never want to perform in front of them again."
And yet that was your curse.
That was my curse. Like, and then my parents got divorced, and I was like, I knew I don't want to perform in front of married people because everything falls apart.
That's what I'm saying. It's interesting.
Tick, 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 bitter.
The candy they gave me when I was four was bitter, and I said, fuck you to society ever since.
I'm dropping out.
I'm out. I'm done.
Until they invent some way I could talk in a garage to people, forget it. I'm done. I'm out.
Nothing left. To answer your question, Wayne, I performed from my family a bunch of times, so it would be cool with me. Would I want to perform just in my living room?
Parents?
No.
I would. It would be impossible for me.
I know. And that's Bammer's genius, is that she thrives in the awkwardness of that. And also, why I think her fans love her is because she's so... engaging, like and this is what a lot of good comics do. You know, you open your crazy world to the public and let them see it.
To me, that is the definition of a great comedian. Yeah. Not necessarily crazy, but instead of like, hey, look at these things we all share, and I'm going to point them out, which I do, observational humor. But to me, the real great comedians are the ones that bring you into their world.
Let you inside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Richard Pryor is a perfect example. Like, oh.
Bill Hicks.
I think Pryor more than Hicks, in my opinion.
Well, Pryor really was, I mean, especially like when he set himself on fire smoking cocaine and did a whole special talking about that.
He was always doing very confessional kind of stuff. And I used to be like, Janine did that. And Maria does that too at an insane level. And even Patton and the guys today, like Louis, like you're brought into their world.
Right.
As opposed to, did you ever notice this is,
you know,
which, and I end up doing that. That's why I don't think
that's the only thing dumb married people are ever going to understand.
Oh my God, those are my people.
Why do they even go out? Why don't they just stay home and be married?
I know, just be
and
married,
be dumb.
Yeah, just look at their dumb things and go, wow, everything's stupid.
Yeah, why would
so
we
you're
ever
the
leave?
Ones with like the sticker on the back of the car, like my
kids are not going to get it when they grow up too.
Oh, I meant more like
that's a longer sticker.
They're more like they're an honor student
my
at the kid middle
goes
school.
To don't get it school
now. Now, Wayne, let's move on.
Yeah.
What type of movies, now, you like the Academy Award winners, obviously, but what type of movies do you really like? What genre do you like the most?
Oh, I don't.
You like everything.
I don't do it. I mean, I'm a huge
1984, Best Picture.
That's Amadeus.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a pretty good movie.
Mm-hmm. It was.
There, that Salieri character, I think, resonated with
a
lot of people.
What movie won Best Picture that you thought this should not be Best Picture other than English Patient?
The English Patient. Oh, certainly 1963 Tom Jones. That is not a good movie.
Well,
no one even knows the movie.
The early 60s was like such a bad... The studios were like everything was just musicals.
Be careful. Be careful. Be careful.
Shakespeare in Love?
Yeah, I like Shakespeare in Love, and what did it beat? It beat like something crazy, right?
Yeah.
It beat, that's 1998, is that right?
Yeah,
so, something around there.
I don't know. I it's not. I don't have that thing like, oh, I'm mad at the Academy because they did this. I just think it's interesting. Like,
sure.
What even was up and what people were talking about. And
okay. Well, let's go into DVDs because a lot of because of the holiday season, a lot of DVDs are coming out. And let's talk about varying quality DVDs.
Yeah.
So the first one is Total Recall.
This is great for a dumb married couple to watch.
This is the reboot of it. This is the reboot, right?
This is the reboot, yes, with Colin Farrell.
You know, if you didn't see this...
If you didn't recall the first one...
Well,
yes,
totally.
There you go.
Confetti's. Yeah. this is one, like, if you didn't see this in the theater and you just want some sort of mindless action film to rent, it's all right. You know what I mean? Like, do that.
Mm-hmm. Who plays the Jamie Lee Curtis role?
You're talking about Sharon Stone?
Yeah.
Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale.
Sorry, what am I thinking of?
You're thinking about
Eraser.
Thinking about the
tell
the,
me what I'm thinking
about. Movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right?
Yeah.
What was that? Wasn't Total Recall? No, don't look it up. Don't look it up. Don't look it up.
It's not.
It's the Last Action Hero. I don't know what that was.
It's the one. Yeah, where she.
She seduces him.
I know which
in
movie.
In the bedroom. By the way, speaking of her, Halloween might be my favorite of the modern horror movies. Do you know that movie, 1979, Halloween, John Carpenter?
I'm familiar with it as well, yes.
I don't know. Some people don't know Halloween.
Oh, True Lies is the movie.
True Lies. Okay, so I didn't totally recall True Lies properly. Sorry, thank you. I'm an idiot.
Rush. Yeah, I remember seeing this movie. I think this movie was made and then was set on a shelf or something like that for a couple years. But
this is the JGL bike movie.
This is why was not Shia LaBeouf
hashtag,
in this.
Yeah,
it should have been Shia LaBeouf's movie, and JGL should have been in something else. This is not JGL's best work.
No. Mm-hmm. And next, Resident Evil Retribution, horrible, horrible movie. And here's the thing about
have
these
you seen
movies.
The whole series?
Yes, and I'm a fan. That's what was so irritating. Is
now
the,
this isn't the one with the pins in the guy's head, is it?
No, you're thinking of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Hellraiser. I'm thinking of Hellraiser.
Okay. I wanted to see.
And then just so.
I was making a thing that the guy doesn't know.
Now, does he have a hockey mask? Is that?
I just think that's the Hellraiser thing is the greatest because he has pins coming.
Yes. And what's his name? Pinhead. It's great.
Yeah, that's it.
There's Pinhead. No subtext
and
at all.
You look in the mirror and you don't say his name.
So
I know it.
That's it. Or you can say it twice.
It's
just
a good movie. It's a classic. It's a classic.
Sammy Davis Jr. shows up. Who's on board with that rhythm?
It's a classic.
So the Resident Evil movie, it was hilarious to think it's like how hard could it have been to screw this up? I mean, it's like all you have to do is make a semi-compelling story with zombies and action. That's all you have to do. Instead, you ruin it in some kind of holodeck simulation, an entire fucking movie. It was ridiculous. I mean, I liked the last one. I mean, you had to really go out of your way to make me angry at a Resident Evil movie, and mission accomplished.
Wow. That sounds like a Cloud Atlas for you. Keep going. Let's keep going.
This is like, we've had Cloud Atlas. We've had married people. We've had Resident Evil.
It's a lot of anger. A lot of anger here. Parents, divorce. A lot we've talked about. Pinhead.
You want me to pause it? Yeah. Okay, hold on. Okay, so then another movie coming out is Pitch Perfect. I didn't see this. Did anyone see this?
Tell me what it's about.
Becca, a freshman at Arden University, is cajoled into joining the Bellas.
It's Glee, the movie.
Oh, right.
But isn't it sort of a joke?
It's a funny one.
It's
Bridesmaids. Yeah.
Bridesmaids.
I heard it was actually really good.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
It's supposed to be sort of funny. Like, it's sort of the making fun of Glee a little bit. Not like a flat-out parody.
Sure.
So it was not a baseball movie with Clint Eastwood.
That's the next one.
That's another one.
Yeah, Trouble with the Curve.
He did two of them.
Yeah, he did.
He did two baseball movies in one year. He did with the Curve and Pitch Perfect.
And Gran Torino.
You have a film knowledge schizophrenia, Wayne. That is mad.
But I'm just saying, Pitch Perfect would be a good baseball movie.
It would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a singing pitcher who goes
perfect.
On the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so the Trouble with the Curve, I did see.
And you
actually went to the premiere of it. I know that sounds insane.
With the three directors from Cloud Atlas.
I know. I feel like I'm a Hollywood douchebag. Like, and then I was hanging out. I don't know why I was able to go to that, but Clint Eastwood was there. Mm-hmm. And it was actually not, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It's, you know, it's Clint. The problem is, like, Clint Eastwood was just coming off that chair speech he gave at the Republican National Convention. So there's a sort of like Hollywood, I'm not going to say revulsion, but just that kind of like, what is this guy? Do we even want to be involved with this guy? One, because he's a Republican and they're, you know, they're hated here. And two, because he was, you know, it was anti-Obama. So, but I don't, I've seen a lot of Clint Eastwood movies. He did the thing where he blew up, you know, a couple of times. And there was some nice, I'm trying to think who was the guy in it. The young, I can't remember that dude's name, but I saw it. I wouldn't recommend it highly, but I would say
it's a first-time director, Robin.
Right, Payne, who wrote and directed it, correctly.
He's been an assistant director, second unit director on like Million Dollar Baby and Mystic River, and he's worked, obviously, with Clint a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. So
think he came to Clint like, I have this idea.
Yeah, well, that's why. Except my question for you is, what did you feel like? This is the first time direct. Like, did that come across like the direction?
A little bit.
Been a little.
I'm more about story than directing. Mm-hmm. So, I just thought there was like there's kind of a big reveal at the end that I know you don't do spoilers on this show, and I won't say, but it was a little contrived for me.
Mm-hmm. And how was Amy Adams in it?
Very good. Right. Very good.
So everyone, the acting was
good. The acting was good. Yeah. Actually, she has a couple really nice beats. She plays the daughter who's like, they're estranged and they're trying to get together. And he used to bring her around to, with baseball. Like, you know, when he's a scout. Mm-hmm. He's a scout. Right. It's actually, you know what it is? It's, now that I think of it, do you remember that movie Moneyball? It was a long time ago.
1964, right?
I don't know the year. I don't know.
Sound of Music beat it out for Best Picture.
So when he's like, you know what he was? It was like you remember the old guys at the table?
Yeah.
And the young he was one of the old guys at the table. It was a movie about him as opposed to Jonah Hill.
Right.
It was interesting.
That's cool.
Well, I know.
So it probably is kind of the perfect DVD rental then, wouldn't you say?
I would say it's an excellent DVD rental.
Right. Cool.
Not even good. Yeah, like X. Like, not for the big screen, but Wayne Fetterman says that. And yes, there's some contrivance thing, and his buddies, you know, the old buddies that have been around and do like the old, that was the worst part of the movie. That, you know, that kind of like fake
camaraderie. That's so hard to do.
It's so hard to get.
You have to cast the right people, and you got to let them riff.
There's no other way.
You can't.
It's like diner.
Yes.
Like, you got to do the diner thing.
You can't. When you script it, then it's just like, I'm going to take you to the clunky clunk.
Couldn't agree more.
Right.
When people start saying clunkity clunk clunk, yeah, it's bad. Are we going to go to the next? There's a list here.
Sleepwalk
we're looking at
with me. That's Bob. That's
Mike Birbiglia.
Bob. Bob's great.
Yeah, Mikey. He's great. Great. Great movie.
No, we've talked about this before.
Yeah. What'd you guys think?
I liked it. It was. It really felt very natural and just really organic. And one of the reasons is, you know, you're starring in your own story pretty much.
Right.
So I enjoyed it. I thought it had some real insight into somebody who has a real disorder, a sleep disorder.
It's that you're talking about.
And an insight into the comedic process, too.
He's being really personal. Like, it's based on, obviously, his one-man show, because he has this crazy sleep disorder.
Right,
you know, and he's fallen out of windows and all kinds.
I know.
He almost died.
He has to sleep in a sleeping bag, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tied up. Yeah, like it's like a sleeping bag, but it has to be secured so they can't get out of it.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Killer
Joe. Now, this is the movie we wanted to see. We missed it, though.
Tell me about it.
Matthew McConaughey plays a hitman that they hire and then kind of can't get rid of.
No, he played Abe Lincoln, right?
Yes.
In The Lincoln Lawyer. Because I know Lincoln was a lawyer.
He played Abe Lincoln
vampires.
Lawyer. Yes.
He passes his amendments. He does a number of things.
Does speeches.
The thing.
He passes amendments.
He likes plays.
Yeah.
He loves.
And then he drives around in this car and does pro bono service.
For cash. I don't get it.
There was a lot of Lincoln in our lives. So.
And So I'm going to check that one out. And Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, and then Liberal Arts. There's actually a review on the site for Laura House did Liberal Arts. So
yeah, I saw that movie too.
Wait, Laura House from MTV?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's one of the mm-hmm. writers.
How many people on your staff?
It's like 12.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. What's Liberal Arts about?
Liberal Arts is that guy, Josh Radner, who is from, I believe, How I Met Your Mother. This is sort of his garden state.
Oh, right, right. The older teacher and the...
Yeah, it's
like... Yeah, I wanted to see that.
I saw it on a plane. It's a nice little film.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you see it projected on the side of a plane?
I saw it projected on the side of a plane.
I
was at an LAX airport. Drive-in yeah. cinema.
It's like a Carlin thing. No, I'm getting in the plane.
And Elizabeth Olsen, who's really kind of, she was in that, you know, Mary Marlene or whatever film, which she's sort of really coming into her own as a good actress. So mm-hmm. it's worth
she was,
it.
Yeah, she was great.
All right, coming out this weekend.
Yes.
Zero Dark Thirty. Got only it. In LA and New York for Oscar consideration.
Cannot wait.
I'm pumped up to see
Don't it. Tell me the ending. Okay. Do not tell me the ending. No spoilers, please.
What if they rewrote it and they didn't get Bin Laden? He's still on the loose, Zero Dark 32.
She's had such an amazing career because she was like this kind of schlocky director for years.
I know.
And then all of a sudden, Hurt Locker, and now she's... She beats her husband.
Yeah.
And now...
Back to back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, incredible. Incredible.
I mean, her when she was married, they would go to comedy shows. And they were so dumb.
They didn't get callbacks. They didn't understand a callback.
They didn't know why they were there. They were thought they were watching musical theater or a dinner mystery theater.
They would text each other, and the comic would get mad, and they'd look, like, indignant. Like, well, I want a text. Oh, it's crazy. This is 40. Is there a Fetterman and Out?
There is not a Fetterman and Out. Not a Fetterman. And let me tell you why. Because in a way, it's a sequel to Knocked Up. And so in that movie, I play...
Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln. Noah. So...
This is the dumbest episode we've ever done.
So in Knocked, I play... part of the baseball fantasy league, and they were at one point in the movie there was a scene with the baseball fantasy league, mm-hmm. and then that eventually got in one of the drafts taken out because Paul Rudd is part of that too. Oh. And so that was it, and then that's the only Judd directed movie I've not been in, but it's still good, and I enjoyed
were you in Freaks and Geeks?
No I wasn't. Right. Thanks for rubbing it in.
Yeah.
What other successful stuff have you not been in?
Were you not in Jack Reacher?
I'm excited to see Jack Reacher, actually. I know it's a PG-13.
I don't know anything about
that,
this.
Oh, that's...
I don't know.
That you think it's going to be the thing that'll sink it, that it's PG-13? It's like, you know, I think it's going to be great, but just that PG-13 rating, man, that just it's really going to tie Tom Cruise's hands.
Oh, this is a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
He plays like a killer or just a guy who reaches?
Yeah, he's
just a reacher.
No. Wayne, what you got to understand, he's got his own code.
Oh,
he's
right.
He's got his own
right,
code.
Right.
He just teaches.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
He just cares about what's good.
The address
and what's
that
right.
changes everything.
Why would you reference a Wesley Snipes movie from 12 years
because
ago?
Because of the code. Like, I love
it. It changes all the rules.
It changes
Wayne.
The rules or something yeah. like that. The intro.
How did you even remember that film?
Because there was somebody who did it. We always used to riff about that. The address that changes all the rules. Anyway.
Remember, if you see this movie, you deserve it.
Oh, Jenkins is in it, huh?
So I'm not as hopeful on Jack Reacher as you are, but you know maybe it'll be good.
Well, if I have to see Jack Reacher or The Guilt Trip, I'm going to see Reacher because The Guilt Trip's posters are annoying.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty much for if you're a Barbara Streisand fan, you're going to go to see this movie.
Why are you staring right in my eyes? That did happen. You saw that, right?
I saw what happened.
He leaned in and looked right at me.
I'm just saying, now you can talk. Go ahead. Now finish the sentence.
Well, can I talk about Streisand for a second? Because I am a huge Streisand fan up to maybe the mid-set, maybe even to 80, maybe right before Main Event. And then I feel...
Oh, come on. Main Event, where he lives in the boxing glove driving school?
Right. Yeah. It was too real. The problem with the main event, it was just too... It's too real that she was a boxing trainer. So, like, suddenly she's Angelo Dundee. And I have to say it like that.
But that's the boxing
and then
glove that
her next
everything.
Movie, she played a prostitute. I was like, really? Barbara Streisand as a prostitute? That was the greatest thing I ever saw.
A long way from Funny Girl.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. She was. And I really liked those early movies of hers a lot. Including, anyway.
That's why I stared straight at you.
So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make the guilt trip. But Seth Rogen is quite a funny guy.
Next movie, The Impossible. Now, this is the movie about the tsunami.
Oh, right. And which one? The Japan one?
The Indonesia one. The interesting thing.
Like an 03
Tsunami Classic. Yeah. So you're the good one.
Yeah. And it's actually based on an actual family, this movie.
All right, I have to give Dana Gould kind of partial credit for that joke, because he does talk about 9/11 classic as opposed to the new one. So, Dana, that was for you. But like, whenever there's a horrible thing and then something else is like, then I just...
It's like World War One, the classic World War.
Right. It was just called the World War for years. And then got rebranded. It's kind of like Star Wars,
they
right?
Franchised
yeah. It's kind of like Star Wars. All of a sudden, we used to call that, Gramps, we don't call it that anymore. It's now called Episode 4. Wait, are you kidding?
That's our episode.
That's it.
We got to end it.
All right, let's go.
Let's finish it up.
That's it. Let's just stop right now.
Yeah. Done. Click. Click.
I don't want to wrap.
Don't want to wrap up.
Oh, Jesus.
You got out of your chair. Well, that is our show, ladies and gentlemen. That was one of the more ridiculously fun shows we've had
in
quite some time.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear all of your comments on the message boards and the Facebook fan page. Wayne Fetterman, where can our fans talk to you on the internets? Where can they find you? Got any shows coming up? Anything to promote?
I'm actually do the Wayne Fetterman International Film Festival. But the dates have just been moved. This just happened last night. So I don't know that. This is where I pick comedians, and they screen a movie that they love or were inspired by. They can't be in it. Let me give you an example. Last year, we had Gary Shandling showed The King of Comedy. And in a weird way, that movie informed the Larry Sanders Show. And so he does like a little stand-up, talk about it, interview him. We show the movie, 35mm print, and then we do like a Q&A afterwards. Andy Kindler showed Modern Romance, the Albert Brooks movie.
Oh, nice.
Margaret Cho showed Darling, which is a movie I'm sure you haven't heard of, 1965 Schlesinger film. So you kind of learn about the comedian in a way. This year we have four comedians. We're still booking. But Jeff Garlin wants to show Sweet Smell of Success. Sarah Silverman, Crimes and Misdemeanors. So it's like sort of an informative way to enjoy. So it's for film fans and stand-up fans.
Where do you do it?
We do it at CineFamily, which is also the silent movie theater. Right, obviously, right. Where everyone does that kind of thing. But the dates this just happened last night because, anyway.
Do you have the dates yet, or you're not?
Well,
sure?
I don't want to announce.
All right. Where's a website people like?
Well, you can go to WayneFetterman.com. One, and then I'm also on Twitter at Fetterman.
Okay.
But it's not the word at. It's that A with the circle around it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. The new one.
Yeah. The new one.
Not the classic A.
Not at. But so that's it. I'm doing the Sketch Fest. I'm going to be up in San Francisco doing that. And I'm doing some spoken word thing in Long Beach on the 30th of December if you're down there. But
oh, cool.
I'm always kicking around.
So go to WayneFetterman.com.
And you get all the information.
Yeah,
the
I think that's the best way to do it.
Let's do it that way.
Is that too much?
That's fine. What else? I will be...
You're touring,
in
right?
In Santa Barbara, December 20th, which is
no
tomorrow.
Married couples, please.
No, if you're dumb, stay home. I will also be with I'm headlining those shows at Santa Barbara tomorrow on the 20th, and then I will be with Doug Benson December 27th in the Irvine Improv, and then we're going to be in Florida. And then this just added, I'm headlining. Well, first I'll be January 26th. I'll be doing a show for Mars Comedy in Oahu. Hawaii.
Actually, we should say January 12th. We'll be at Improv Olympic with Chris Gore talking about the new Star Wars.
What's going to happen with Star Wars?
The Star Wars franchise. Yeah,
it'll be a lot of fun. And I'll be headlining Zanies in downtown Chicago. Just added February 6th.
That's a classic comedy.
Yeah, that's a great old school room. So check all of that out.
You got quite a stand-up career.
That's all I do. That's go nice. On the road and joke
nice.
It up.
That's nice.
Jokey joke joke.
Cool. To single people.
And
God willing.
And as always, I have a book about being married and having kids called Pacify Me, Handbook for the Freak Out. Right. Hey, here's an
not
idea,
not for married
Graham.
People because they're too stupid to understand it, but if you're thinking about getting married, this might
this
be for you.
Maybe this help your perspective on marriage, Graham. Next time, don't... Yeah, yeah.
Next time,
don't marry someone who's half your age from another country who you met on the internet. Maybe that might help.
Oh, well, a married couple told me to do it. That's why they said this is.
And
the
I listened. I thought they would know.
They would know.
I thought they were smart.
Either you're in a fucking minivan telling me my honor student goes to dumb school and get married.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Our
That's our show. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of good stuff coming up. We have our special shows. Remember, January 1st, we have our special two-part Hobbit episode with Jackie Cation.
I might have to recuse myself.
Yes. It'll be a very interesting discussion. It'll be all... You're going to go all cloud, Wayne Fetterman Cloud Atlas.
Definitely.
You're going to Hobbit in and out.
And both you and Jackie are both married.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a goddamn bloodbath.
So we got a lot of stuff coming up. Like we said, thanks a lot for buying everything in the store. We really appreciate it, supporting especially during the holiday season. And we will talk to you. We have a special episode on Christmas that will drop, kind of our thank you episode. Yep. And then we'll see you back on January 1st.
Enjoy your holidays, you guys. Thanks again to Wayne Fetterman for being on the show. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. As always, remember, Han shot first.
Because he was single.